nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and a very good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin and we are coming to you live from Juba this Monday evening. Today we are going to be looking at the state of a world population report and the commemoration of World Population Day. And the day was celebrated on the 11th of this month. It's an annual event or celebration that focuses on the attention on the urgency and importance of a population issue. And this day was established by the then Governing Council of the UN Development Programme in 1986. And the celebration this year doubles as a celebration of UNFPA to commemorate World Population Day under the theme South Sudan in the World of 8 Billion towards a resilient future for all. And they also, every year, UN Population Fund, the UNFPA releases its annual State of World Population Report. And this year, the report titled Seeing the Unseen, the Case for Action in the Neglected Crisis of Unintended Pregnancies. Those are some of the topics we are going to be discussing this evening. And our lines will be open to you. Later on, where we shall be giving you the chance to call on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. This evening, I am joined by Mr. Jackson Okello, who is the Deputy Chief for Population and Social Statistics in the National Bureau of Standard. Good evening and welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you, Sir Martin.
Yes, and also,
Martin,
yeah. Yes, I am also joined by Wellington Mbisi, who is the Technical Specialist for Population Development in UNFPA. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Sunny Martin.
Okay. First of all, let me begin. The celebration happened on the 11th. Was there any event that took place in Juba, organized by UNFPA together with partners? It's Wellington.
Yes, thanks,
Sunny Wellington, yes.
Yeah, the event is commemorated every 11th of July every year. And prior to that date, the usually accumulation of several activities in build up to the day that the government and the partners have chosen to celebrate. So there have been several activities geared towards the big day that will be tomorrow.
Okay. Yes. So the day is tomorrow. It was shifted from 11 to tomorrow.
Okay. The day is 11 of July, yeah. But countries are free to adjust the day depending on the commitments
on the
and also based on the discussions around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how prepared is the government to participate in this commemoration tomorrow, Okello?
Yes, the government is ready. Tomorrow, UNFPA and National Bureau of Statistics will celebrate together in Nyakuron Culture Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so the government is prepared.
Everybody is invited?
Yes, the relevant bodies are invited to come there, yes.
Right. Let me begin with these questions. When we talk about seeing the unseen, what do we understand by that?
Sadi Martin. Globally, if you look at the population, you find almost half of the pregnancies are intended. That is, the number is 120 million each year throughout the world. And this, we think, is unseen crisis. It is unfolding before us. It means that one in two pregnancies takes place in the bodies of people who are either who did not choose that pregnancy, or even who did not even prepare for that motherhood, or who is not open to have that child at that time, even in the circumstances that they don't necessarily welcome. The report of this year, state of population, brings evidence at the latest evidence in unintended pregnancy to the to the whole world, including South Sudan. And what it has brought ahead in front of us again, so that is unseen, in that unseen crisis, is the impact on the societies, the countries, and the global development. This is something that is amazing, unseen in front of us. This unseen crisis is amazing in front of us. Okay. And we are seeing that clearly now from that report.
Okay. And Wellington, maybe briefly, can you explain to our listeners what World Population Day is all about? Why should we even care when people are in crisis?
Yes, the World Population Day seeks to focus attention and urgency of the importance of population issues. When you talk about population issues, we are talking about population growth, mortality, morbidity, and everything that cuts across within population, including migration and also emigration. When I talk about emigration, I'm talking about people leaving their country to go out over to a different country. Emigration is people coming from other countries to your country. So all those factors really affect the population of a country. And this was seen as a very important day by, as you have seen, by the Government Council of the United Nations in 1989. And celebrations are done every year, 11th of July, and we have already said that we were not able to celebrate that day, but we have been having a series of activities which are gearing up towards the build-up of this day, that is tomorrow. So between 11th July and tomorrow, we have been having several activities, which we'll be about also to discuss. So the issue of this, the purpose of this day, is to discuss about more issues which relate ourselves as human beings, our environment, our society, and also the growth of our population. Remember, you're talking about 8 billion in 2022. We don't know where we're ending to. Is there space enough to sustain? Is sustained? Yet we are talking about climate change and all those factors. Therefore, this is also a day that the World Population Day also strengthen UNFPA, who's a key partner in with the UNFPA UN Population Divisions. They also collaborate to ensure that countries are able to conduct census for the countries, so that they can know exactly what numbers they have as they manage the resources. That is what is called the population and housing census. So all those build together because they are part of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yes, maybe the deputy chief from the National Bureau of Statistics can explain more about this, the national theme, South Sudan in the world of 8 billion towards a resilient future for all. Maybe the deputy chief, can you explain maybe later on, basically can explain more and shed more light on that? Why was this thing chosen for this year's annual celebration?
Yeah, I think in this, if you look at the current population projection of this country, that is roughly over 13 million. That is a projection.
For South Sudan?
For South Sudan, yes.
How many millions?
Yeah, over 13 million.
Uh-huh. That's our population right now.
Yes, this is projection.
This is
not from the census. Yeah. Yes, that is projection.
Uh-huh.
Now you find that in this over 13 billion people, you find that it comes with the opportunities.
Mm.
Now, each one of these is tied to a specific opportunity. This could be in the area of employment, could be in the area of education. It could be in many, many other rights which are tied to individuals in over 13 million billion people. So that is important. So it means that government and development partners need to plan for over 13 billion people. This is very, very important. And that is why this team is chosen purposely to focus the attention on this number for the planning purposes.
Okay, it's for planning purposes. And maybe let's find out, earlier on you talked about the seeing the unseen, and you explained more elaborately on that. So how widespread these unintended pregnancies rate in South Sudan, because you talked about the issue of pregnancies.
Okay, thanks Sunny Martin for that question. Before we go to the South Sudan specific, let's have a look at the evidence globally and what's happening in the other countries. This issue of unintended pregnancies is widespread in mostly in developing countries. And before we even go to the statistics, let us first understand, what do you mean by unintended pregnancies? This is a pregnancy that occurs to a woman who was not planning to have any more children, or that was mistimed, in that it occurred earlier than desired. So this definition will always apply if, independent of the outcome of the pregnancy, whether abortion, miscarriage, or even unplanned birth. And in developing countries, a study done by Gottmark Institute, it shows that 93% of the unintended pregnancies occurred in developing countries. That is among the teenagers. We also have evidence from our own home system, that is the MHDIH, Means of Health and Demographic Health, District Health Information System, that is capturing data from the facilities for people who have attended facilities. In 2020, we are seeing that under 15 years of age, 23% of them have attended ANC visits in the facilities, showing that if you visit the ANC facility, definitely that is a clear indicator. Is by default, you are seeking some kind of medical attention because of your pregnancy. Then again, in the same year, 2020, the ones who are between 15 and 19%, we are seeing that 23 of them visited the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
That is now the ages of 15 to 19%. So that's a clear indicator that the condition is increasing. Going to 2021, which is now currently home, we are seeing an increase of 2.5% for the ones who are under 15 years who visited ANC facilities in the Republic. And again, for the 15 to 19 years, 30%. So you see, now we are talking about 23%. Now we are talking about 30%. Possibly, maybe this year, the numbers could be higher.
Yeah.
So the burden is increasing. And we now need to think about what could be the cause of these, all this. When you go to the study that was done earlier by the South Sudan Household Survey done in 2010, the adolescent birth rate, which is also the same as a teenage birth rate, was 158%, or 158 per 1,000 women in South Sudan. Which, again, that time, we also had 15 to 20 years, were 3.1%. Now we are talking about a number of 30%. So the situation is there, the burden is there, and what is now more important is now a call on action amongst the stakeholders on how this can be done to reduce the increasing burden of unintended and also teenage pregnancies in the country.
So what are the causes of these unintended pregnancies in the country, and how can we mitigate these problems?
Thank you, Sean Martin. There are so many causes for these intended pregnancies. In one study by doctors with Africa, the causes of unintended pregnancies are mainly three. First, poverty. This accounts for 80% of of that cause. The poverty constitutes the 80%. This means that those young women aged between 15 to 19 are getting, they are under less than $1 in a day. That is the UN standard.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the low access by women and girls to education and other empowerment opportunities. So the meaning is that these girls are not have no access to education, have no access to other empowerment opportunities that they supposed to be due as their rights. The other cause is the exposure to violence and coercion. So you find some of these women fall under that trap by having been forced into that relationship. Another study conducted in Juba revealed several factors. These factors include lack of school fees is the cause, lack of parental care, lack of parental level communication and supervision, peer pressure, non-use of contraceptives, desire for a child, forced marriage, and need for dowries.
Mm.
Now, these are some of the causes. Now, to mitigate this, we need to ensure the following. One is sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights, as well as the prevention of response to gender-based violence and harmful practices, are integrated into the legal system and related national and state level policies and plans and accountability mechanisms. Now this need to be incorporated into the system such that whatever, whoever does what should account for what he or she has done.
Okay.
The other is women, youth and marginalized populations have increased access to equitable and people-oriented maternal health, family planning, that is GVB, and HIV prevention, information and services, supported by strengthened and robust health system in fragile contexts such as ours.
Yeah, like what we are in South Sudan.
Yes.
Okay. Now, with all these findings, and you have read a lot of them to us now, the question is how relevant is this finding in the context of South Sudan?
Thank you, Sergeant Martin. Now, this report, which is giving us a lot of evidence, studies have been done globally in South Sudan and also ongoing. We have evidence from MOH that has become general facilities. It raises some provocative and also unsettling questions that speak to the prevailing issues in South Sudan on how society values women and girls beyond their reproductive capabilities. We are Africans.
Yeah.
We are in developing countries. We think, and we think that the women are, their role is maybe that marriage, their wives, and also producing children, paying dowry, and owning them up. But they have a bigger role to play. We are seeing women leaders who are shining in Africa. Several of them, even in South Sudan, we have women leaders who are shining a lot. Therefore, they have a lot to be done. They have a lot to do. Therefore, beyond the callings, is a call to action for South Sudan to recognize the full worth of women and girls by enabling a conducive environment to fully support the societies, to fully implement their potential, to fully support in nation building and everything. They also youth. Also, being youth, they also playing a part in building the nation, being energetic like just the men, and they're able to also work together with the men. Therefore, this means that we need to ensure they have tools, they have the information, they have the power to make this fundamental choice for themselves and take part in nation building. When they are able to exercise their really informed choice over their health, over their bodies and futures, then they can also be able to contribute aggressively and also positively to the nation building of South Sudan, to Africa, and to any other East African countries and in any other country that they are living in.
Yes, and before our lines are open, last year there was another report that was launched, My Body is My Own, and this report was launched around this time. What impact has it had on the female in this country?
Thank you once again, Sani Martin. This report, in fact, measures between the woman's power to make their own decisions about their own bodies and the extent to which countries' laws support or interfere with the woman's right to make these decisions. Now, this is simply what report measures. But, however, there has been increase in awareness among the around the sexual reproductive health rights, especially for women. We notice how parliamentarians all over the world are participating in more discussion about empowering women and about the reproductive and health rights. In addition, we have also seen at the local level how some of the states are also working out to see into it that those issues of women are incorporated into their policies, plans, and other local laws. For instance, for the case of Lake State, when the governor one time, she went to many visited some school, this shows the seriousness of the local government in implementing this, and some of this are beginning to have impact now. Then again, in recent last year, particularly the East African community, of which South Sudan is a member, of course had a reproductive discuss sexual reproductive health rights bill draft of 2021. The stakeholders who attended showed very impressive awareness. They talk on that and they put into it really that this is necessary. if we want the East African community to move ahead, the rights of women should be recognized, and their worth should be also raised to the level that is required of a nation development. And this brought a lot of positive, and as we speak now, a number of different countries in the regions and even the states are putting their policies and plans to see that women issues are incorporated, and they strongly come up.
Okay, and if you have just joined us right now, you're listening to Nationwide. My name is Annie Martin, and in the studio I have two guests, and we are discussing more about the World Population Report and the commemoration of World Population Day that will happen here tomorrow in Juba at Nyakoro Cultural Center, where invited guests and other dignitaries have been invited to go and attend the celebration tomorrow. And this year the theme is South Sudan in the World of 8 Billion Towards a Resilient Future for All. And also every year the UN Population Fund, the UNFPA, releases its annual State of World Population Report, and this year the report titled Seeing the Unseen and the Case for Action in the Neglected Crisis of Unintended Pregnancies. According to the Deputy Chief in the National Bureau of Statistics, he is saying that according to the report, some of the factors are poverty, lack of education, violence, the girls are exposed to violence, lack of school fees, lack of parental care, and so many other factors. These are some of the challenges facing the ladies in this country. Our lines are open, 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion this evening. My name is Annie Martin, and in the studio I have Mr. Jackson Okello, who is the Deputy Chief for Population and Social Statistics, National Bureau of Statistics. And also I have Wellington Mbithi, who is the Technical Specialist, UNFPA, Population Development. All are here with me, and our lines are open. Can call and be part of our discussion.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation. Your preferred station, the voice of peace.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
A very good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Annie Martin, and I have two guests with me here in the studio. Wellington Mbithi, Technical Specialist, Population Development, UNFPA, here in Juba. Mr. Jackson Okello, the Deputy Chief for Population and Social Statistics, National Bureau of Standard. Tomorrow, if you're here in Juba, you can take a walk to your agricultural center and put on your face mask and then go and listen to some of the speeches that will be delivered tomorrow as we join the rest of the world. And the celebration happens every year on the 11th, but any country around the world is bound to change depending on how their situation is and adjust the date. Not necessarily that it should be on the 11th. For this case, South Sudan have deferred the day from 11 to tomorrow, 26th of July, to have this commemoration here. And the theme for this year is South Sudan in the World of 8 billion. That is the number of people around the globe, 8 billion. And according to the director, the deputy chief in the National Bureau of Statistics, he says our projection of the population in South Sudan, projected, not counted, is around 13 million. So you can call us and 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion this evening as we are discussing more about the World Population Day here with my two guests.
Hello.
Yes, your name?
Yeah, that is Anton from Maban.
Okay, Anton from Maban. Go ahead, Anton from Maban County of Upper Nile State.
Thank you very much for our guests in the studio. My question is, apart from yearly celebration of this occasion, what step do they took to support girls in education and also empowering to fight for the poverty? That's the one question. The second question is, there are so many prostitutes in Juba who are coming from outside our country. And what they are doing in the residential areas is giving a bad example to our young daughters. What step have they taken to prevent this so that our daughters don't copy that example? Yeah, thank you.
Anthony from Mabande, the steps taken to improve girl child education in the country to ensure that some of the findings you listed earlier on, like people living below the poverty line, spending $1 per day for food, and also education, violence, lack of school fees, lack of parental care, and all many, many others. You can still call us on 0912062079. Hello, Radio Mirror. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, name.
One more call from Mio Saba.
Okay, call from Mio Saba in Dubai here. Go ahead, call.
Okay. You know, my question is, it seems like our government is supporting this. This is your opposition.
We are not discussing that. We are discussing about the World Population Day. First, just get the topic first, and then you call back and discuss and ask your questions later. And let's go to some of the initiative. This one goes to the host, Jackson. Initiative the government is taking, we know we have so many partners who are also supporting, like UNICEF is helping in terms of education, plus many others. So what are the steps taken?
Well, I think if you have seen in the area of education, as he asked it first, Anthony asked it, you find that the number of schools compared to the past, there are more schools now than in the past.
Yeah.
So whether it is government schools or private schools, the number of schools has increased.
But still you also have many kids out of school.
Correct. Now, as to the issue of poverty, I think the economy generally is not good, but the government is trying its own best, and that is why they are technical schools, vocational training centers, like the one in the MTC vocational.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that is part of fighting poverty.
Behind Juba Stadium.
Exactly, behind Juba Stadium. That is part of their attempts. There are others also in different states, like in Tori, there is one in the former technical school. School is also doing the same thing. It is also supported by a number of organizations, including UNESCO. So they are working on this. Those attempts are mainly done to reduce poverty.
Yeah.
But of course, it takes time, because it is not an instant copy that can just come quickly. So it takes time. And on the part of that support, especially our work with the UNFPA, we have been conducting a number of surveys to see into it that we prepare data, and that data is given to the government and other development partners to see into it that they make decisions on the lives of the people.
And proper planning.
Exactly, proper planning.
So how does the UNFPA support in terms of education to girl child education in the country? Is there any link, or US is just to support the government and you leave the rest to the partners?
Yeah, thanks, Sunny Martin, for that question. I think just to add on to what my colleague has talked about, the issues of poverty. Number one, the most important thing is to ensure that this girl child is in school and empowering the child to make her own decision. So number one, we are ensuring that they're in school. Of course, we are working with other partners, and the government also is the key partner on ensuring that they're in school. Just as I said, the number of schools have increased, creating space for more education and also more openings in terms of education. And also, other partners are supporting the package to ensure that they're in school. Maybe some of the partners are paying school fees. Some partners are also providing some sanitary towels and all that. I think in our UNFPA system, we are taking care of the issue of the menstrual hygiene, which I may not want to do too much, but I've seen areas whereby in schools, UNFPA goes and supports them with menstrual kits, which are able to keep girls in schools. Remember, that is another very sensitive area, and if you're in school and that is happening and you don't have a package, then it also keeps you off the school. Mm-hmm. So those are being supported by UNFPA, plus other initiatives that we work with our partners who are also supported by UNFPA.
Okay. And this is coming in from Deng in Gudele here in Juba. He says you are dealing with the statistics, the deputy chief from the National Bureau of Statistics, and the population of this world is growing up, and we are talking about 8 billion. What plans does your department have that will support the government in terms of planning for the anticipated population growth in this country? Here's a young country, South Sudan. That's from Deng here in Juba.
Yes, Mr. Deng. You know, the National Bureau of Statistics does not independently work by itself. It is a government agency. So whatever we do is... always supported by government and other partners like UNFPA. So recently we conducted a population estimation survey. The result is about to be out.
The one done last year?
The one done last year. It will soon be celebrated, of course. Mm-hmm. It will be disseminated.
Was it all over the country or within
the... It is all over the country.
Yeah.
Now that population survey will be out, and this will be a powerful tool that will help the government plus other development partners to make plans and major decisions in that. So that one will tell exactly what happened and all this. So we are there, an agency, to see into it that we collect data, we analyze, and we present to the government and to those bodies that need those plans. Those data. So we don't make decision on all.
Yeah.
We prepare that, and then such that decision are made. Which we have done. That is why we have the projections are going. We have the surveys which are going, either done alone by the NBS or done with other development partners.
Okay. So when are we expecting this survey to be out, the result? Is it this year or next year?
It will be out soon, maybe in 2 weeks, 3 weeks time.
Okay.
Yes,
you can still call us on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2079. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion right here. Hello, Redimire.
Hello, Sani Martin. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Mr. Keko from Tongping.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it is an interesting topic. We do enjoy it here. And I would like to ask them some few questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have been talking about the population growth in the country and in around the world. And our ladies are the most vulnerable here, especially in South Sudan, particularly in Juba. And there is no support at all, either from the partners or from the government. Like, for example, you can find a lady, she's maybe interested in school, but due to the conditions at home, family maybe not having that fund to fund her at school. And I don't know whether they have the initiative of supporting ladies in terms of education and in terms of entrepreneurship, like to support them in businesses. Like, you see, our ladies may have this experience of doing some businesses. Others are doing the selling of fruits,
yeah.
Businesses like in Ministries Road. And there is no kind of support in, like, to talk to them and give them the word of encouragement, buying their fruits, although you are not interested in it. Give them some encouragement that one day they will make it in life. And they have typed something about MTC there at Juba Stadium.
Mm.
That one, sometimes the training is based on NGOs. You know, you have been selected through NGOs, but if you don't have that link with the NGOs, mm-hmm. You may not have an opportunity to join the training. So what are the way forward, either from the partners or from the government, in supporting especially our girls in South Sudan?
Okay. Thank you so much, Jeko from Tongping here. Hello?
Yes, Radim Raya.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Your name?
You are collective community advisor. Afoga Nyangako from Bor.
Okay, go ahead.
My question is so very simple, and I really tell those people in the studio for the support. But there is some people pulling the ladies and the sisters out from the school.
Yeah.
because of the bad culture taken by those ladies. What advice can you give to them, those people and their ladies, okay, not to take a different culture to their own use?
Thank you so much for your question. Earlier on, Wellington talked about the issue of forced marriages, forcing girls to do things against their will. There are some girls who want to go to school, but because of this culture, Apong is talking about from Bor, it forces some of the ladies to drop out of school. We have another question coming from Mading Malual along from Malakal town of Upper Nile State. He says, in our context here in South Sudan, every day we are losing lives. Every day people are being killed as a result of the violence happening in our country. And his question goes to National Bureau of Statistics officer, that you are projecting our population to be around 13 million. But with this violence where people are being killed on daily basis, what impact do you think it's going to have on our population? And yet, these are young people dying on daily basis. Let's begin now with the first question from Gecko here in Tomping about the issue of girl child education, the support. There are some girls who have the skills to do business, but they're not being supported. If you don't have any connection to any NGO, you will never go to the NTC or MTC you are talking about behind Juba Stadium. So how do we handle that?
I think, well, this issue of discrimination, of course, it is one of the issues of the population.
Yeah.
But remember, the NGOs did not just come by themselves. They are given that authority by the government.
Yeah.
So whether they're discriminating or not, but some people are being trained. So the training is taking place. Of course, yeah, it may not happen that everybody is taken at a time.
Yeah.
So it may take time for other people to get in. But the few number that are there, just with time, they will just get in. I don't know where I deeply about that, how it is taking place, but what is there, like the one that is in Tori, they have a system, how you get there. So once you are available and you choose a certain area, they just take you. Okay? Yeah, I think Gecko shouldn't worry, because it is a matter of time. Some of those who are looking for opportunities will get in, and the situation that we are in also is limiting certain opportunities.
Yeah,
yeah. But so with time, I think the government will come up with its own program plus the NGOs. I think the opportunities will be there.
Yes. What about this question from Mading in Malakal about this violence happening? What impact is it having on the population? Many young people are dying.
Well, whichever violence it is there, normally it affects population. Okay, but of course we cannot tell. Remember, Mr. Mading, remember that we are there to collect data, analyze it, and present and disseminate to the people. Now, after after giving it to the people, then it is up to the government now to make final decision.
Yeah.
Okay. So we cannot advise on how violence should be stopped and you should limit that. Yeah, every violence, wherever it happens, it has impact on the population. And this is one of the dynamics of population: the death, the birth, and the migration. So once you do that, the character of a population changes from time to time.
Yes, yeah. Wellington, how does ENFPA support the government to end this culture of forced marriages, forcing girls who really want to continue their education and become the potential leader you were talking about earlier in our discussion? Instead, the parents forces them to drop out of school, go get married so that they can get cows. Is there any way UNFPA supports maybe some ministries or key government institutions to really campaign against these practices?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Sunny. I think there's an area where my colleague had handled very well on mitigating the issues of unintended and also teenage practices, and I'm going to emphasize again. I think as UNFPA, we are working very strongly with the government to ensure that the relevant policies, guides are available for guidance. And you see, when they become policy, they become a law. Being law, then people will be kept off from going against the law. So we have had like the adolescent's health, which is being which is being reviewed by the government, that is the parliament. We also have a comprehensive sexual education, which also gives the girl child also ideas on how to go about the sexuality and all that. We also have the universal health coverage that is being, that's already ongoing in some countries, and also Sudan is one of them, which also brings in the sexual and reproductive health and rights, which now will also guide these teams. But all in all, we also have the government, which plays a key role in addressing some of these issues through the means of health, through the means of gender and youth. We also have youth and sports and all that. So those are partners that we work with to ensure that some of these issues that are coming across are mitigated. Mm-hmm. But the key thing is that the policies and the laws are being followed up within the parliament and also the government to ensure that these are law.
Mm-hmm. And is there any activities or program that really focuses on these teenagers who might have dropped out of school due to early pregnancies and still want to go back to school, but they have no support?
That is also what is covered in the some of the adolescence laws that are being managed, because once these girls give birth, it doesn't mean that that's the end of their life.
Yeah.
They need to go back to school, they take care of the kids, go back to school and continue the education. So that is being also factored in the new laws that are being, in the new policies that are being spearheaded by UNEP and its partners through the government, through the means of gender.
Okay.
And youth.
And as we are coming to the end of our discussion, because we are just left with about 5 minutes, let's look at this year, World Population Day serves as an opportunity to shape the conversation around population dynamics in the lead up to the world reaching 8 billion later this year in 2022. What does that mean to a young country like South Sudan?
You see, the World Population Day is celebrated. That focus is mainly on the urgency and importance of population issues, because we celebrate every year such that the focus is laid on that importance and urgency. And this was earlier on done by the then Governing Council of United Nations under United Nations Development Program. That was in 1989. So in that, it used to be celebrated every year, and the reason is to enhance awareness on population issues. The relationship of the population issues with environment and development. So you need to relate with that. The United Nations Population Division collaborates closely with the statistical offices in order to strengthen the national capacity for implementation of that program. And that is through what we call population and housing censuses. That's supposed to be done countrywide. It is always done in every 10 years. So the main aim, why would that day is important, to see that the attention is focused on population issues and their relations to environment and development.
Okay.
That's important.
Okay. Finally, Jackson, from your side, as we conclude your final remark, what is your concluding remark on this commemoration that's going to happen tomorrow? People listening to you, why is it very important for us to take this day very serious? Should we even mind, given the challenges we are facing at the moment?
I think it is important, because if we don't understand our state of population as a country, then we may, because it, the population itself and the issues connected with that are the tools with which we can handle development. So we, government and citizens, I mean a citizen should also listen to see into it that whatever the government wants to do, they know. Because those issues, if understood well, then it can help us make good plans, good policies, and then you come up with you can formulate laws out of that, such that your development is not just development thrown like that, but guided by some laws, by some guidelines, and using data as a tool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jackson. Yes, Wellington. Finally, should the people of South Sudan really bother so much on this day commemorating the World Population Day tomorrow? Like I said, we have so many challenges at the moment now.
This is a very important day for South Sudan, just like another country in the world, because we are talking about population. we need to, number one, we need to check about the issues of the pregnancies. When we talk about the teenage pregnancies and also the, these are our sisters, these are our daughters. They are not people out of the universe, out of the moon. So we need to understand how to handle them once that eventually it happens. And that is by empowering and ensuring that they're kept in school. These are also people who are contributing to national development because they're in the active ages. Remember South Sudan being like any African country, it has a lot of youth, close to around 30% who are youth, and these are the people who are supposed to be supporting the country.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that, we have come to the end of our discussion this evening. Wellington Mbithi, Technical Specialist, Population Development, UNFPA. Jackson Ukelo, Deputy Chief for Population and Social Statistics, National Bureau of Standard of Statistics. My name is Sunny Martin.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.